me this. What TV star is driving his big brain bus to your local mall?
It's your dad?
That's right. It's me, Mr. Wisdom.
Even better.
And I'll be visiting Hill Valley, California tomorrow afternoon. Cool enough, neighbors?
Back to the Future is my favorite thing. Always talk about it and write songs to sing. Even though there was never a part four, Marty McFly is coming back for more. I don't make money, get no fame. Love for these characters is what I blame. Podcast about comics and cartoons and more. Cause there's still things to explore in Marchy McFly 4. It's Marchy McFly 4. Can you feel it?
Hello, everybody. It's Tuesday, March 19th, which means it's the 19th day of the fourth year of Marchy McFly. Pretty fly for a McFly. Welcome back, everybody. Oh, my goodness gracious. We are like closing in on the final 10 episodes of Marchy McFly. And I am I'm excited. I'm excited for two reasons. Number one, I guess maybe more than two reasons, but the first one is I never have to watch this episode again because this was awful. I disliked this from the beginning to the end. It was just not good. And I can't wait to talk to you about it. So yeah, want to talk about an episode I really hate? Great, that'll keep you hanging on. Number two, Thursday night, I'm going to be recording for another podcast I do called Fine Movies, Fine Spirits, and we're going to be talking about Back to the Future. It just worked out that we decided on that show to do Back to the Future at the same time where I'm living that Back to the Future lifestyle over here. And I guess number three is I went swimming. I finally went swimming. Remember the other day I talked about, we joined a gym for a pool and my wife, you know, goes for her back and I forgot my gosh darn, swimming trunks. Well, today we booked the pool and, my wife, her back was bothering her. She wasn't feeling up to going. So I said, you know what? We're not going to back out. I booked the pool. I'm going to the pool. I went to the pool myself. I brought my swimming trunks and I loved it to the point where I called my wife. I go, that was great. I loved it. I'm running to Walmart right now and I'm getting some swimming goggles. So I'm a swimmer now. I swim now. That's what I do. It's only been one time. We're going back on Thursday, Thursday swimming, Thursday talking about Back to the Future. It's a big night in my life. And of course, Thursday, more Marchy McFly. But that's there. That's far away from there. Let's get ready to talk about tonight's episode. Enough with you know, enjoying things and being happy about something. Let's do something else. Let's talk about this episode of Back to the Future.
Yeah.
So this is the second episode of the second season. It's the 15th episode overall. Put on your thinking caps, kids. It's time for Mr. Wisdom. It first aired September 26th, 1992. So I'm thinking back, what was I doing September 26th, 1992? I was a junior in high school. Was I at getting ready to go to Van Halen? That might have been 91. I went to see Van Halen in concert like right around, that would have been a month later because it was around Halloween. But September 26, 1992 is, well, it's my mother's birthday. That's cool. But it's 1 year and it's 1 year and 2 days before I met my wife. Can you believe that? That's a long time ago. Imagine if I was like, what do you want to do on your first date? You want to watch Back to the Future, the animated series? She would have thought, oh my God, this guy's 17 years old and he's watching cartoons. What a loser. Hopefully he'll outgrow that. Luckily, at 17, I was like, I'm not going to watch no stinking cartoons. 30 years later, I read comics and watch cartoons all the time. I don't know where that came from. So this episode aired September 26, 1992. It is directed by Bob Gale, I suppose. They really don't say directors in the credits now. It just says writers. This was written by Wayne Katz. We've talked about him a couple times. And it features a new character named Mr. Wisdom, who I assumed was going to be kind of like a Mr. Wizard. I used to love Mr. Wizard. It was a show that was on, like, I think in the 60s originally. But I watched the one that was probably the 80s. Now that I think about it, maybe it looked like the 70s or 80s. But I don't know if it was a Canadian show or not, but it was aired on Nickelodeon when I watched it. And, if you look up Nickelodeon in the news right now, they're not looking too good. But Mr. Wizard was a show where a guy would talk about science. He would do experiments with area youths, and they would do all kinds of like little experiments, kind of like Bill Nye does at the end of these episodes, except Mr. Wizard talked. That was one of the big distinctions. But this really was not really anything like that. This episode, I think, was directed by Bob Gale. Again, they don't say it, but they do. At the end, they don't say it in the beginning where it says, you know, written by Wayne Katz. At the end, it says directed by Bob Gale. So I think he just directed all of these episodes now. But I just think it's weird that they don't say it, like they don't show it at the opening credits. So let's, for lack of a better way of saying it, let's get this over with talking about this episode. Which I know it's a Saturday morning cartoon from 30 plus years ago. Cartoons have become much more clever. I think they give the audience more credit now, where even shows that are made for kids will put interesting, you know, things in that the kids might find funny and the adults might find clever. And clever is not generally a word I think of when I think of this show, especially this episode. So it opens up with Doc dressed up in a an astronaut outfit. I don't know, like the old classic 70s, 80s, 60s looking astronaut. He doesn't have the big glass thing in front of him. And he's basically telling people, you know, he's going to NASA to help fix. He's going up in a space shuttle to help fix the cable company satellite. And for that, he'll get free cable. I guess cable, it's not working. And he goes, it's not the first time I was on TV, but that's a different story. And then we jump to this and it opens up with Marty reading a science book, studying while driving his hoverboard to Doc Brown's farm. Now, again, it's 1992. Hoverboards haven't been invented yet, and yet this brazen young man is riding his hoverboard around Hill Valley willy-nilly without a care in the world. Doesn't matter if he's breaking the you know, space-time continuum. Doesn't matter if you know, it's something that is attracting things to Doc Brown's house where it shouldn't. Doc Brown doesn't care, and Marty certainly doesn't care. And that's what I realized. This show makes Doc Brown kind of an idiot when he's eccentric in the movies. He's a little quirky, but he's not an idiot. And neither is Marty. And they're kind of idiots in this cartoon. So of course he comes and crashes his hoverboard right in Doc's invention. It goes right in the barn. Doc goes outside the barn. Marty flies through, smashes in the invention. And then Doc comes in and goes, "Marty, I don't remember installing you in the invention," because he's an idiot. And it's this like memory enhanced. It was called the Marie. That was the acronym for it. And it stands for something. I did not write it down. I was hoping that it would be, you know, written down on the IMDb, not the IMDb, the Back to the Future wiki, but I don't see it there. So let's just put it this way. It's this giant contraption that you put on your head, and it's supposed to help with your memories. Memories. So he, Marty gets out of there, and he's like, "Listen, Doc, I need help. I need you to tell me how long would it take something to travel around the sun?" And he's like, "Marty, I'm not going to help you with that. I have books for that." But he shows off the memory machine, and it actually makes him kind of go a little cuckoo. So he's like, "I need to fix this." So while that goes on, Marty goes in the house, and Jules and Vern are hanging out in front of the TV. Jules is reading while Vern is watching. Oh, Jules doesn't have a... Interesting. I wonder if it's there. Oh, no, this might have been just because of the TV show he's watching. He doesn't have a coonskin hat on. He has a hat on that has like a lightning bolt and a light bulb. But I think that's because that's like the official logo for Mr. Wisdom. That's what he's watching. He's about 2 inches from the TV watching the Mr. Wisdom show. Oh, yes, his light bulb lights up when Mr. Wisdom's screen lights up. I'm sure that's safe. So how do I describe Mr. Wisdom? He's got giant yellow teeth. He looks almost like yellow glasses, red glasses with yellow glass. You can't see his eyeballs. Giant mustache, giant eyebrows, what's his name? Marx there. I almost said Karl Marx, but or Richard Marx. I'm going to keep saying it. Harpo, the Marx brother, Harpo. Groucho. There's the one. I couldn't think of it. He kind of has a Groucho Marx feel. But he also dresses like the genius, Leapin' Lanny Poffo in wrestling, if you know what the genius dresses like. Like he's a graduate, he has a cap on, like he's graduating from something. So he's watching that. So the guy's like, "I can give you how to do experiments." And one of his experiments is, I don't know, he sets off a bunch of mouse traps. No one cares. It's really not important. It's just that Vern is obsessed with this guy so much that he gets excited and he goes to high five Mr. Wisdom on the TV and ends up cracking the TV, which doesn't come into play at all. Marty comes in. He's like, "Hey, Jules," he borrows all these books from Doc Brown. Doc sees Mr. Wisdom on the TV and he freaks out. He's like, "Mr. Wisdom? No, not him," because I guess that's his rival of some sort. He doesn't like Mr. Wisdom. We don't know why yet, but so here's what happens. Doc comes in the room, steps on some kind of tube of hair tonic or toothpaste or something. It doesn't matter because it's stupid. He sprays the tube, it goes all over Marty's face. Marty drops this giant pile of books on Doc. Doc goes, "Oh, Marie." He's talking about his machine. Clara thinks she's talking about another guy. This all happened in 5 seconds. Gets angry and pours a plant, like she has a watering can, all over Doc's head. And that goes away. We don't see that anymore. Now, Vern and Marty head to the TV studio to meet Mr. Wisdom. He's like, there's all these like girls dancing for Mr. Wisdom, dressed up in suits, and some are dressed up as magnifying glasses and beakers. And Mr. Wisdom goes, "I'm here for 2 seconds." He pops in 2 seconds, he's in, he's out. He goes, I can't stay any longer, but check out my my gift shop. So it's all there just to sell crap. I mean, a cappuccino machine, a chemistry set, a pennant, toys, all kinds of garbage. And the kids love it. They just want to give him money. That now Vern's like, let's go see if we can get his autograph. And I like that they go out to his car. His car is a giant brain, and there's a sign on one of the buildings that says Lone Pine Mall. So I do love that. So inside the brain of inside this machine, we see this dude who I'm trying to think what he looks like. He looks like something. It almost looks like one of the guys from Futurama. Remember, like there's Mother on Futurama, and there's the three brothers that are like, yeah, it was like they're dumb, and she always slaps him across the face. It kind of looks like one of those guys mixed with Gargamel. So we see hanging up on this like pedestal, the hat, the glasses, the eyebrows, the mustache. It's all a costume. And this guy's voice is down here, and he's kind of evil, and he looks evil. And it's definitely Tom Wilson. It's definitely Biff Tannen doing the voice, but he's not named Tannen. He's never named Tannen. There is no Tannen in this episode, even though Tom Wilson's in it. And so someone comes in, is like, Mr. Wisdom. He's like, oh, who's there? He puts on his disguise really quick. And the kid's like, can I have an autograph? He's like, sure, kid. And then he pulls a lever and the kid falls down into a trap. Now, again, we saw this car in the parking lot. So where does this trap door go? And maybe it falls out and he just lands under the car and he scurries away. I don't know. But it seemed like an awful big fall. So it's kind of dumb. So now Vern and Marty go into there, and they're like, oh, he says, next kid who comes, I'm going to send them to the disease rats, like the rats that don't play nice. I guess he experiments on rats, and these rats aren't very nice. Oh, so it's a brain bus. It's big enough that he could have fallen through the tunnel and into the street, but they didn't see this kid hit the ground and, you know, wasn't there like with a brain contusion or anything. So, okay. Vern and Marty go in. The van, Marty makes a comment how the van has nice carpeting. All of a sudden, Mr. Wisdom is there. He's like, hello, hey guys, how's it going? And he's like, look at these rats. He's going to scare them. And Vern's like, oh, wow, those are rats. My father, Dr. Brown, would never do that. And Mr. Wisdom's like, Doc Brown, he's my oldest friend. Can I go meet him? Come on, I'll come with you. So he goes with them to Doc Brown, to the Brown farm. He sees all of Doc Brown's experiments. He's like, where is Doc Brown? Why don't you go get him and I'll stay here. So he starts looking through all the all his inventions. He's like, look at this. Ooh, a fly swatter. Oh, a thing that makes peanut butter inside the shell. And here's where I get pissed off. The fact that Bob Gale directed this and allowed this to happen is a travesty. All of a sudden, he looks into the DeLorean and he goes, could it be? Doc Brown's lifelong dream, a flux capacitor. And that's where this episode started to, I mean, it was already dumb, but I'm used to dumb. I've been watching dumb. But this is where it goes to the point where now I'm angry. I'm like, excuse me? Doc Brown fell while trying to hang a clock in his bathroom in 1955. Okay? It wasn't a life. And okay, maybe you're thinking he told Mr. Wisdom back in 1955. Is that what you're telling me? The fact that someone else knows about the flux capacitor and it's quote unquote his lifelong dream. This annoyed me to no end. So all of a sudden, Doc Brown comes in and he's like, hey there, Emmett, how's it going? And Doc Brown starts throwing vegetables at him. And scares him away. The guy tries to use inventions, Doc Brown's inventions, against him, but he doesn't know what he's doing, so he freaks out. And he does the classic cartoon, runs through a wall, and the hole that he leaves behind is the perfect shape of him, which is dumb, but it's also kind of classic cartoony, so I don't care. And they're like, why don't you like him, Dad? And he goes, well, it goes back a long way. It's going to take a flashback. So that was, you know, that's cute. And they go back to college. They went to the American College of Technical Science and Difficult Math. The both of them went to college. So is this when he knew him? That's what it seems like. How would he know about the flux capacitor if this is the last time he saw him? That's why this is annoying me so very, very much. So they're college mates, and you see them hanging out in the dorm, and they're having a grand old time. Mr. Wisdom has hair and is a little younger. Doc's hair is a perfect blonde, and, you know, he's younger as well. They both have inventions. They're entering into an invention contest. Mr. Wisdom created a dog diaper, and he's like, oh, cool. And Doc Brown invented a perpetual hula hoop that you don't need to, you know, move your hips to. It just works that way. So Mr. Wisdom stole that invent and entered that in the contest. Won, then became evil pretty quickly. He ended up signing a deal with Glunco Toys, and he became rich off of that. And that started his empire as Mr. Wisdom. But apparently Wisdom's just his last name. It's like William Wisdom or some stupid stuff like that. Like, everyone wanted those hula hoops. And it shows a girl even wearing hula hoops, but she's wearing rollerblades too. So when was it a big deal? When did this happen? That's why the show doesn't really take into consideration details, and it doesn't take into consideration logic. And maybe if it did, it would have a better show and it would have lasted more than two seasons. But okay. He becomes a big deal because of that. So Doc's like, and end of flashback, which again, I thought was cute. And he's like, gosh, Dad, I didn't know. I thought he was your friend. I would have never brought him here. And okay, they're like, no big deal. No harm, no foul. So they just go to bed. Now, Mr. Wisdom was just there trying to take stuff and grab Doc's inventions. Doc doesn't trust him. Doc now knows where Doc lives. So if I was Doc, what I wouldn't do was just leave everything lying about and a window wide open, because Mr. Wisdom comes back, walks, just kind of, you know, goes right through, moseys right through the window. All these inventions are right there. Nothing's being set up. He takes that. He takes them all. He even takes the new Marie, the mind reading thing. The thing is supposed to be able to let you recall any memory you've ever had. He's excited about that. He takes that and he puts it in the DeLorean, and he kicks out Einstein, who was sleeping in the DeLorean. I guess he was supposed to be the watchdog. He drives right out through the wall, drives away. They wake up, they hear it. They're like, oh no, if he gets 88 miles per hour, we'll be lost forever. But luckily, they take a picture with a long lens camera. They see ancient Egypt on the board, and they follow him because he's headed to ancient Egypt. He hits 88 miles per hour and he goes. Now, Mr. Wisdom gets in the car. He goes, this isn't a time machine. It's just a stupid car. He doesn't realize he had to get to 88 miles per hour. I guess he didn't have to turn the time circuits on. And why would he know it's a time machine? This annoys me to no end. So, but wait, there's more. Marty's grabbing more books, and now he's like, what's going on? Oh, we're all going to go together. So that really doesn't matter. They all jump in the train except Clara, who stays, you know, asleep back at the house. And they get in the train and they chase them. They chase him to ancient Egypt. So we go to ancient Egypt, and there's a pharaoh there who's having all his slaves put a pyramid upside down. So the pointy part's at the bottom and the flat part, the big base, is at the top. So it's upside down. So the DeLorean flies by. Then all of a sudden the time train flies by. I guess they fly by so fast that the entire pyramid flips over. All the slaves slide off it. And the pharaoh's like, oh yeah, that's what I meant. That's what I wanted. Great. So now they're chasing the DeLorean. They shoot a suction cup, okay, out of the DeLorean, I guess so he could follow them to any time period, I suppose. I don't really know. It just looks like they suck to it so that it can't get away. But the DeLorean now takes off flying. All of a sudden, it's on the ground. Okay, it's on the ground. Then he goes, I'll take you to Krakatoa, in 18, wait, it says it right here, Krakatoa, 1883. Now, all of a sudden, the DeLorean's in the air, the train's in the air completely, right? And he's flying with them. They get to Krakatoa, okay? They're still together because of, I guess, the rope kept them together. I think that's what they're saying, because the rope, the suction cup has a couple of wires hanging off it, a couple of doohickeys, so I'll say that's what's happening. He gets out, opens the door while the car's flying. This is all going on in 5 seconds. This Swiss Army knife has his glasses, has magnifying glasses, has everything he needs. He finally gets he doesn't use a knife or scissors. He uses big, giant, silly teeth to cut the rope. Now, the rope cuts, okay? The DeLorean turns and flies away. Now, I know that train can fly. That train, it can be steered. That train can be driven. He cuts the rope. The DeLorean turns away. And what we see next is the train. I mean, there's plenty of time. The train plummets into the volcano. I mean, it just goes into the volcano, and liquid lava everywhere. So absolutely, Doc, Jules, Vern, and Marty are all dead. They've perished. There's no chance they died. My only hope was that they got to 88 miles per hour and turned on the time circuits and jumped away before the lava actually hit. But it looks like they're all doomed. And I'm guessing the rest of the series is just Clara and Einstein taking care of the homestead. I have no idea. But we jump back to 1992. And now Mr. Wisdom is already back on TV. I don't know how long it's been, but he's back on TV. And he's telling people, hey, I can tell you, do you hate your life? Were you looking for better times? Well, now, for $999,995, you could change your own life over and over again with my own Mr. Wisdom's time machine. And Clara's like, that's Emmett's time machine. Just call 555-FLUX. And then you see not so fast. And then it gets even dumber, because here we go. All of a sudden, Emmett, Jules, Vern, and Marty show up, and they're all dressed in oven mitts. That's right. There's giant blue oven mitts, and their heads are sticking out. They're all the same size, but their heads are sticking out in different areas because apparently these were made for them. And he said, I told you my giant stupid oven mitts would work against, magma. So the only thing so they did crash, but they climbed into the oven mitts in time to save themselves. But what happened to the train? The train should be melted, but it didn't. The train should be gone. They, even with these giant oven mitts, their heads should have popped off. Their legs should have fallen off. Maybe they find their shriveled bodies. I don't think they'd find anything, but okay. Very dumb. Mr. Wisdom's like, what are you doing here? And all of a sudden they decide to challenge each other to a science contest. Mr. Wisdom versus Doc Brown to see who's the smartest. To an invention contest. Mr. Wisdom starts pulling out inventions that Doc Brown did, and Doc Brown shows him how to really use it. So basically, Mr. Wisdom is losing big time. Then he goes, I'll pull out the Marie. And then Clara's watching at home. Why? I don't know. But Clara's watching at home, and she goes, oh, that's why it's called the Marie. Of course, it's one of Emmett's inventions. Marty's dressed as a game show host. I don't know where the suit came from, but they're like, don't use that machine. Or maybe they didn't. They just let him do it. His brain went crazy. His glasses shot off. And afterwards, they go, are you okay, Mr. Wisdom? He literally hits his own lip with his finger and goes, and they're like, Doc goes, well, that's the problem with the Marie. It's supposed to help you with memories, but it does the exact opposite. It takes them away. Then we see the kid from the original that fell through the trapdoor. All of a sudden, he's on stage. He pulls a lever out of friggin' nowhere. Mr. Wisdom falls through this trapdoor. I don't know where he's going. He doesn't know where he is. I'm assuming he's dead. I'm assuming he's incapacitated, or is he just below the studio? Is he there forever? I don't know. I don't care. But it's so, so stupid dumb. Then the next thing we see is the DeLorean and the train, because the train is fine for some reason. Now, okay, I'm going to say something. Maybe Doc invented the train, has to go through the time, you know, through these time holes for time traveling. Maybe he invented it to withstand the heat of liquid magma. I don't know, but I don't care. They get back and yay, we're back in 1992. Then we jump over back to Doc. Now Doc's in friggin' space. He does have the shield down in front of him. He's floating through space and he's talking about the fact that the about orbits and satellites and how once you leave a satellite, it should stay with gravity, should keep it where it is, but they can't find the cable company satellite. And he's like, let's talk about orbits. They're like, okay, video diary orbit. And now Bill Nye is basically, he's friggin' miming while the not Christopher Lloyd voice of Doc Brown is explaining how the Earth is pulled to the sun and goes around the sun. And they're talking about gravity and perpetual motion. He does some trick with nickels and pennies, which is stupid. It talks about inertia and gravity and centrifugal force and centripetal force. I don't know. There's two different forces. May the force be with me because I hate this episode. Then Bill Nye, I thought maybe he got in a car and she's trying to leave, but he's in a car driving around trying to show how, you know, the force works when you take a right turn and your body moves. And he's still not over. Now he's going to show more inertia by this whole trick with tying a baseball to a string and another end to a ball of clay that's the gravitational pull. When you cut the clay, who gives a shit? This experiment was bad. This episode was bad. Everything about it was bad. And there's no Biff at the end, no joke. I think they just stopped doing that. I thought maybe they hit their stride. I thought the pirate episode was kind of fun. And then they come back with this hot mess. I wonder where this will rank in the Marchy McMadness that's coming soon. It can't rank high. I feel like this is going to be a round one bounce, but you never know. They could get worse. They could get worse. I have the system I'm going to be using for ranking and buys, and a few episodes are going to get buys, and it's just going to work out the way I want it to, because it's an odd number of shows. And but I want to break it down to a final four and a final two, but I can't do that until I'm finished with every single episode. So I'm done with this episode, that's for sure. And I'm done talking to you because I don't want to talk about this cartoon anymore. I want to get to the next one. We can't do that until we get to tomorrow, because this isn't a double episode. This is a single, but I will be back. There will be at least one or two more double episodes. So I'm looking forward to that. And I'm looking forward to talking more Back to the Future with you. It's got to get better than this, right? Please, 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 please. All right, listen. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Threads, Mastodon.social, and Blue Sky at Geek Mentality. The Facebook page is Fans.Experts. The YouTube channel is Fans.Experts. And the website is Fans.Experts.com. That's it. I'm done. I will see you tomorrow. But until then, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. May the centrifugal force be with you. And jumping gigawatts, here is my theme song.
This is my podcast, I made it. Geek Mentality's what I named it. And I think you should listen and subscribe. Cause I'm kinda funny and awesome. I think that I'm worth your time. And I'm kinda handsome, my mom says. Please listen and please subscribe. At least listen to this episode.
Fans Not Experts.